If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16, a word for America with the upcoming election. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16. Peter writes, "Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God." Well, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, and I pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, the kind of freedom that America was founded on and how much, Lord, we need to be fighting for and standing up for that freedom in order to hang on to it, especially as we're living in the last days. I pray you come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last September the 27th, when an American Airlines flight landed at the airport in San Francisco and all the passengers were getting off the plane, a flight attendant said to the people over the intercom, "Have a blessed night." Nothing about God or the Bible or Christianity or Jesus or turn or burn or anything like that. Just have a blessed night. But of course, all hell still broke loose because one of the passengers was a Bolshevik named Clara Jeffries, editor of the communist magazine Mother Jones. So when she got off the plane, she threatened to sue the airline for discrimination and tweeted out this, "Creeping Christian nationalism alert. Alaskan Airlines flight attendant just wished us a blessed night as we landed in San Francisco." People, what in the world kind of a whack job gets offended by "have a blessed night"? Here we are 9 days away from the most important election in our lifetime. And our country is so far away from what our nation was founded on and what we were founded for. And if we are ever going to be what America is really supposed to be all about, we first of all have to remember what America is supposed to be all about. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us exactly that. We turn today to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16. In this part of 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter is telling us Christians how we're supposed to deal with government and politics. And in our text today, he tells us, regardless of what the government situation is, we need to live like free men. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, in these last days, if we are ever going to be the people of God in America for such a time as this, we need to live like free men too. Our text this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, tells us three things that we need to do to live like free men in America. And that freedom is needed more than anybody else, more than anybody's business. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to live like free men, we need to understand the kind of freedom that America was founded to have to begin with. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 16. And I know somebody's saying, "Here we go, make America white again. We're going to go back to the Klan rallies and Handmaid's Tale." No, I don't want to make America white again. I want to make America free again for everybody, like God and our founding fathers intended. Because America was not founded to be a gay straight alliance club or Barbie World or a P. Diddy freak-off. America was founded to be one nation under God, where our freedom comes from the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. And we Christians, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, live like free men in America, the land of the free. But do we realize how rare that kind of freedom really is in the world? Because ever since Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, the entire push has been toward one world government. So after the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11, God separated all the people and the nations to try to stop a one world government. But then that was followed by 6,000 years of even more people trying to take over and rule the world. Chinese emperors and Egyptian pharaohs and Muslim sultans and Roman Caesars. In Jesus' day, Luke chapter 2, Caesar Augustus tried for a one world government using a one world government tracking system called the census. And then it was Attila the Hun and Charlemagne and the Vikings and then the reformers. When the kings in Europe ruled top down by fear and were in charge of both the government and the church. And when the king said jump, your only question was how high? Because Romans chapter 13 verse 1 said, obey the governing authority. But then the reformers said, if government is not godly, the heck with the king. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we will obey God rather than men. So when the Puritans started coming to America in the early 1600s, they had this absolutely revolutionary, unheard of in the world idea that as Christians, By logic and reason, by the leading of the Holy Spirit and God working through them, they could actually govern themselves without a king. Amen. And their model was the Jews in the Old Testament and what's known as the Hebrew Republic, the first 400 years after the Jews came out of Egypt, when there was no king in Israel. And the priests taught the people the word of God and the law of God. And the people tried to follow it and hold each other accountable to it. So in America, 150 years before there was ever a United States or a U.S. Constitution, all kinds of Puritan pastors and their congregations were founding communities and cities in America. Like Reverend John Lostop in Barnstable, Massachusetts, Reverend Roger Williams, Providence, Rhode Island, Reverend John Wheelwright, Exeter, New Hampshire, Reverend Thomas Hooker, Hartford, Connecticut. So for the first time since 1000 BC, people were actually governing themselves without a king. And those pastors taught their people the word of God and the law of God. And everybody was involved in the church and everybody was involved in the government. Notice, no separation of church and state, because the church was the state. The church created the state. That's what America was founded on. Amen. And they built things called meeting houses that served both as a church and the government building. No separate building for church on Sunday. That's how close church and government were tied together. So the first thing the British did in the Revolutionary War, they came to America, they burned down the meeting houses because they knew that was the heart and soul of this country. In a monarchy, the citizens are subjects and they submit to the king. But in a republic like ours, the citizens are the king. Because the word citizen in the Greek literally means co-king, co-ruler. 1775, the British came to America and said, submit to the king. We said, no, we will govern ourselves. Submit to the king. No, we will govern ourselves. So there is a revolution and we won. That's the kind of freedom America was founded on. We will live like free men. Amen. And where did this whole idea of freedom come from? It comes from the God and it comes from the Bible. Because contrary to popular opinion, America was not founded by ACLU attorneys or childless cat ladies or white dudes for Kamala. 55 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Bible-believing, church-going Christians. All 13 original colonies had an original test you had to pass for government. You had to swear on a Bible that you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. 9 of the 13 colonies, you had to be Protestant to serve in government. The number one book cited by all the founding fathers the most in all of their writings was Deuteronomy, out of the Bible. The Constitution of the United States is based on the concept of common law, due process, presumption of innocence, and trial by jury. Where does that all come from? It comes from the Bible, and especially the book of Leviticus. Don't tell me America wasn't founded as a Christian nation. You say, but Kevin, God isn't even mentioned in the U.S. Constitution. He shouldn't be, because all the Constitution does is tell us how the government in our nation is supposed to operate. The Declaration of Independence written earlier, that tells us about our nation, why we were founded, how we were founded on God, and what we were founded for. God is mentioned in the Declaration of Independence 4 different times. Don't call me, don't write me. America was founded as a Christian nation. Just get over it. Our founding fathers never established Christianity as a national religion because they didn't want people forced into it like the kings of Europe did in their theocracies. But our founding fathers also never intended Americans to blow off Christianity, and they certainly never intended government to be hostile to it. But sadly enough, government is hostile to it today. Last August the 10th, Suffolk County, Virginia, a born-again Christian mom named Angela Kilgore went to the Suffolk County School Board meeting and asked if she could use some of her time at the podium to pray for the school and to pray for the students, because there's power in prayer. But the school board president told her she couldn't do that because that would violate the mythical separation of church and state. And when she told him she had a constitutional right to do it, the school board said no again. And when she insisted on her rights, you know what that school board did? They called school police officers to that room and escorted her out of the building. They kicked her out. Well, Mama Bear wasn't going to stand for that. She called First Liberty Christian Legal Services, who threatened to sue that school for violating her First Amendment rights. And guess what? Now Angela Kilgore can go to those school board meetings and pray anytime she wants to. Patrick Henry said the Constitution is not supposed to restrain the people. The Constitution was meant to restrain the government. Here in America, government does not tell you what to do. You tell government what to do because the government is you. You're the government. We will live like free men. America was founded on that freedom that only comes from Christianity. And there's even more proof. One of the Puritan pastors that came to New England in the early 1600s was Pastor Thomas Hooker. And he and his congregation established the city of Hartford, Connecticut, and the first congregational church there. And again, this was long before there was ever a United States or a U.S. Constitution. And when the people of Hartford asked Thomas Hooker how they should set up their government, May 31st, 1638, he said this in a sermon: "The foundation of government authority is first in the consent of the people." Bingo. Now, all government authority ultimately comes from God, and all people are supposed to submit to it. But government has to be administered by some people over other people. And because all people are equal before God, the only way any government can function and survive is by people consenting to it and agreeing to follow it by their own free will. So we don't obey government because government tells us to do it. We obey government because we agree to do it. So there won't be any chaos, and everything can be done decently and in order, like God says, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. So the power doesn't come from the government. It comes from the people who consent to obey the government. Power to the people, by the consent of the people. And folks, that pastor's words was so powerful, his sermon became the Constitution of the state of Connecticut for the next 200 years. From 1639 to 1818, the pastor's sermon was the state constitution. Where in the world was the ACLU? And according to that constitution, the purpose of government is what? To preserve the liberty of the preaching of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of government in America is to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wall of separation, my eye. The foundation of government authority is first in the consent of the people. Does that sound familiar? Because 1776, Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson wrote, government derives its power by the consent of the governed, by the consent of the people. 1787, U.S. Constitution, we the people, not a king, not a monarch, we the people are doing this ourselves. By God working through us, we can govern ourselves. That's the foundation of our whole system. And where did Thomas Jefferson and our founding fathers get that idea? They got it from Pastor Thomas Hooker, which is why every statue and every plaque that's been put up in his honor says exactly the same thing: the father of our democracy. Folks, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, our entire system of government, everything about this country was founded on the Hebrew Republic in the Bible and a sermon from a Puritan pastor. What do you mean churches aren't supposed to have anything to do with politics in America? The church created politics in America, for crying out loud. Put that in your separation of church and state pipe and smoke it. Amen. By the consent of the people. So when Dr. Fauci tells you to take a clot shot for the bird flu, no, no, we will not consent. When J.B. Pritzker tells you to close your church again for another virus, no, no, we will not consent. When the school board tells you to call a male teacher a woman, no, no, we will not consent. When the Illinois State Supreme Court tells you to register your AR with the state police, no, no, we will not consent. Because the left is not governing by the consent of the people. The left does not have our consent because it's not we the sheeple, it's we the people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, we will live like free men. The kind of freedom that God and our founding fathers intended us to have. The first thing we need to do to live like free men, we need to understand the kind of freedom America was founded on to start with. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to live like free men. We not only need to understand the kind of freedom America was founded on, we also need to understand what's happened in America right now that's taken that freedom away. And we also see that here in verse 16. And the worst thing that's happened in America right now, America has forgotten God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, there isn't freedom. Our republic is tanking right now for exactly the same reason that the Hebrew Republic tanked in the Old Testament. Because the priest stopped teaching the people the Word of God and the law of God. Pastors today, are you listening to this? Amen. What's taking away freedom in America right now is exactly what it says here in verse 16. The left is using our freedom as a cover-up for evil, to cover up all the evil things that they do. And how do we know that? Because of all the lies that the left is telling. Russian collusion. The Hunter Biden laptop was Russian misinformation. COVID came from a wet market. The clot shot cures COVID. January 6th was the biggest attack on our democracy since Pearl Harbor. The border is secure. Illegals aren't voting. Schools aren't teaching critical race theory. No doctors are doing late-term abortions. How much time do you got? Because I could stand up here forever. Everything about the left is a lie. Everything about Kamala Harris is a lie. She totally bypassed the entire primary process and simply got installed as the presidential nominee. Her own party didn't even elect her. And she was chosen because of her sex and because of her color by people who say that sex and color don't matter. She lies about working at McDonald's. She lies about being raised in a middle-class family. And she was the border czar before she wasn't. It's not Kamala, it's Scamala. Everything about Tim Walz is a lie. Claimed that he fought in combat with the National Guard. There's Tim Walz in that picture, not knowing how to load a Beretta shotgun that he claimed that he hunted with for over 30 years. Everything about their campaign is a lie. You go to a Harris Walz rally, you see millions and millions of freedom signs. Freedom, my eye. And you see more flags in a national cemetery. And they play country music. And there's more camo and Carhartt than a Cabela superstore, trying to make you think they're just like you. Because see, you're all about putting tampons in boys' bathrooms too, aren't you? It's all gaslighting. All aided and abetted by the propaganda media. There's Nora O'Donnell, fresh off her fair and even-handed treatment of J.D. Vance during the presidential debate. This is what Nora O'Donnell said, CBS Evening News, just last Monday night.
Vice President Kamala Harris is targeting disaffected Republican voters by hitting the trail with Liz Cheney in the crucial blue wall states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Cheney was a powerful Republican congresswoman, and today she called Harris a responsible adult. As for former President Donald Trump, he was back in North Carolina again pushing false claims about FEMA and immigrants. That's after he spent the weekend slinging a crude insult at Harris, engaging in lewd locker room talk about the late golfing legend Arnold Palmer, and staging a campaign stunt at a Pennsylvania McDonald's.
See, Kamala Harris is God and Donald Trump is the devil. Everybody got it? But see, they're not biased at all, are they? Here in the People's Republic of Illinois, have the highest property taxes of any state in the entire country. Number one in the country for 25 to 40-year-old couples fleeing their state. Illinois leads the nation for what's called tourism abortion. Women specifically coming to Illinois to murder their baby on your dime. 3 out of 4 eighth graders in Illinois, 3 out of 4 do not read or do math at grade level. And yet J.B. Pritzker says, quote, "I am proud of how progressive Illinois is. They just lie." 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, they are liars, and the truth is not in them. Using that freedom as a cover-up for evil. And the worst evil in America today right now is communism and Marxism. Absolute, complete government, totalitarian, top-down control over every single aspect of your entire life, which is exactly the opposite of everything this country was founded on and everything this country was founded for. Kamala Harris is a Marxist. She was the most radical member of Congress when she was in Senate. Even voted to the left of Bolshevik Bernie Sanders. Tim Walz spent 30 years taking field trips, high school students to China, being indoctrinated by the Chinese Communist Party. So today he says socialism is just, it's just being a good neighbor. And they talk about democracy. They talk about democracy till the cows come home. But it's a cover up for fascism. Because to them, democracy really means you say and do and think whatever they want you to. And if you don't, you're an enemy of the state. And you need to have your rights taken away from you. Here's what the left thinks about your First Amendment rights.
There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation.
If they don't moderate and monitor the content, we lose total control.
Our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just hammer it out of existence.
They are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation. And that has to stop.
Together, we can
end free speech.
Maha Alliance is responsible for the content of this advertising.
They can't stand it. They cannot stand the fact that you have the right to free speech because it gets in their way. They can't control what you say. They can't control you. The left colluded with social media to cancel you and censor you during the lockdown. They preach my body, my choice when it comes to abortion, but thought nothing about forcing you to have a clot shot during COVID. Amen. The Biden Justice Department goes after parents who speak up at school board meetings like they're domestic terrorists. Illinois House Bill 5549 right now. If your kid wants to trans and you say no, the state of Illinois will take your children away from you and cancel your parental rights. The left is putting pro-life Christians in jail right now just for praying outside of abortion clinics. And now with January the 6th defendants, for the first time in the history of America, this country has political prisoners. Joseph Stalin would be proud. But see, it's Donald Trump who's going to destroy our democracy, right? They're doing it. They're the ones doing it right in front of our very eyes. And the dream is what? Turning America into a Marxist hellhole where everybody but them, the ruling class, is a slave to Big Brother. But don't worry, even though you won't own anything, you'll still be happy. Kamala Harris says over and over again, we ain't going back. We ain't going back. You know what? I agree with her. We ain't going back. We ain't going back to communism. That's destroyed every single country that it's controlled and that's murdered over 200 million people in the 20th century alone. We ain't going back to communism. We will live like free men. Amen. Government's taking your rights away because the left doesn't care about you. And that's shown in the whole situation with the hurricanes. Because where were all the leftists when the people in the southeastern part of the United States lost everything they had? When that hurricane hit, Joe Biden was at the beach again. Kamala Harris was in San Francisco raising money for her campaign. And the same day that Homeland Security Director Alejandro Mayorkas announced that FEMA didn't have any money for hurricane victims because they blew their water and helping illegals get into this country, the same day he announced that, Joe Biden announced that he was giving $2.3 billion more dollars of your money to Ukraine. And when Kamala Harris showed up, she was wearing a belt that cost more than the piddly $750 that the government did give to hurricane victims. And FEMA didn't show up for 8 days. And then they only accepted relief supplies from pre-approved vendors. In other words, follow the money. And remember the video about the helicopter flying over the private relief center in Burnsville, North Carolina, trashing it and blowing everything away? Like government doesn't want those people to recover because they're the wrong color and the wrong party and they're white MAGA Trump voters in Western North Carolina. You say, Kevin, the leftists would never do that. They'd never stoop that far to sacrifice people for the sake of politics. Are you kidding me? Look at what they've done at the southern border. 12 million illegals in this country on purpose. And while hurricane victims got a check for $750 apiece, you know what they're giving to illegals who come to this country and break into America? A one-time gift of $15,000. Free cell phones, free health care, free plane flights to the city of their choice, free hotels followed by 6 months free rent, $1,500 link cards that are renewed every month. I could go on and on. Hundreds of thousands of Americans dying from fentanyl that's pouring through the open border. 325,000 missing migrant children at the border. Where are they right now? You know where they are, and you know what they're doing. Kamala Harris is the biggest sex trafficker of children in the history of the entire world. And she could stop at any second, but she doesn't. So if you're still wondering if the left really does want to help white MAGA voters, and especially in Western North Carolina, listen to me. If they have no qualms about letting hundreds of thousands of Americans die from overdose, if they have no qualms about letting hundreds of thousands of migrant children be raped and sodomized just so the left can get more voters in this country if they have no qualms about slaughtering 70 million babies for the abortion lobby and letting Dr. Mengele transmutilate little children by the hundreds of thousands in this country to satisfy LGBTQ? Do you honestly believe they have any qualms at all about letting deplorable, gun-toting, Bible-toting MAGA hillbillies go without electricity for a couple of months so they can't vote in this election so Kamala Harris could win a swing state? Not on your life. We got no idea. We have no idea what these people are willing to do for power. Environmentalist wackos want to tell you that the climate is changing because of your dishwasher and cow flatulence and red meat and all you Trump voting MAGA people, but that's not true. And the climate is changing. The question is, what's changing it? Well, a big part of it is weather manipulation. And before anybody gets up and walks out of here, the federal government admitted way back in 1947 that they use cloud seeding and chemtrails in the skies above our head every single day to try to manage and control the weather. 1997, the federal government admitted in congressional testimony they have a program called HARP, High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, that electrifies ions in the ionosphere 500 miles above the surface of the earth to control the weather. The Pentagon admitted in 2015 they have a program called DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, that uses manipulated weather as weapons of war. And nothing that I'm telling you is a conspiracy theory because it's all a matter of congressional record. David Wagner, Assistant Deputy Secretary of the United States Air Force, said this last April. HARP was designed to manage the ionosphere and the weather, to inject energy into the ionosphere to be able to control it. And we've done that. That work has already been completed. So effectively, we're moving on to other ways to manipulate the weather. So they're not only admitting it, they're even bragging about it. They've gotten to the point they can make the weather do almost whatever it is that they want it to do without even having to tweak the process. So the question is, do you think they can even create and juice up hurricanes? Because the last two hurricanes were absolute monsters that intensified like hurricanes never have before in all of recorded meteorology. Hurricane Helene was the third strongest hurricane and the second deadliest hurricane in U.S. history. And Helene was quickly followed by Hurricane Milton. And here's the crazy thing. Hurricane Milton started out as just a tropical storm on Sunday, October the 6th. And by Monday night, October the 7th, it was already a Category 5 hurricane with winds that reached over 180 miles an hour in less than a day. The most rapid intensification of any hurricane in world history anywhere on Earth. People, that just doesn't happen, especially in October. By October the 7th, Milton had an astronomical 897 millibars of pressure with sustained winds of over 200 miles per hour, the second most powerful hurricane ever recorded. So gargantuan, scientists were actually thinking about creating a new category for it, a Category 6. So powerful, it was this close to the mathematical limit of the kind of hurricane that an Earth's atmosphere can even produce. How in the world could a hurricane get that huge? A spokesman for HARP said this just last August. We can either create a storm or we just take a storm that already exists and give it a boost. Gee, you think just maybe that's what was going on with Helene and Milton? And why? Well, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? Because Hurricane Helene did something that no other hurricane has ever done before. Traveled 500 miles inland and dumped 40 trillion gallons of water and rain on parts of Georgia and Tennessee and western North Carolina. And people, the damage was apocalyptic. It looked like something right out of the Bible. Entire towns were completely washed away and wiped off the map. And hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of people lost everything that they had. But here's the kicker. 40 miles west of Charlotte, North Carolina, in the disaster zone, is a town called Kings Mountain, North Carolina, that has the biggest lithium deposit on the entire face of the earth. All the lithium that's necessary to feed the need of the $600 billion semiconductor industry all over the world. Enough lithium to produce the batteries for a million EVs every single year until kingdom come. And not only that, also in the disaster zone is a town called Spruce Pine, North Carolina, home of the purest quartz in the entire world. And quartz from those mines build 90% of all the crucibles that are used to make all the silicone chips for all the cell phones and all the AI technology. And do you know who owns all those lithium mines and quartz mines? Vanguard and BlackRock. BlackRock, the company that shorted a Donald Trump company called Trump Media Technologies for $360 million earlier this year. Because, get this, they bet that Donald Trump, if he was died or if he was killed or assassinated, the value of that company would go belly up. Well, then what do you know? Last July the 13th, Butler, Pennsylvania, a 20-year-old shooter named Matthew Crooks came this close to assassinating Donald Trump. And what else do you know? Thomas Matthew Crooks, the shooter at Butler, appeared in a BlackRock commercial back in 2022. But I'm sure that's just a coincidence, right? And why would BlackRock want to cause a flood on the land where all that quartz and all that lithium is? It's very simple. To get all the private owners of that property off their property so they can buy more property, expand their mine, and make more money. Because that high up in the mountain, nobody has flood insurance. Those people lost everything that they had. And it's really hard to get government to declare eminent domain and just seize that property. But see, if the people's property was just a watery mess, BlackRock could buy it for pennies on the dollar. And those people would take it because they have absolutely nothing else. Do you see why maybe, just maybe, somebody might be interested in controlling the weather and manipulating the weather? And here's where it really gets good. Because regardless of how those hurricanes got there, 66 years ago to the day, Hurricane Helene made landfall September 26, 2024. On September 26, 1958, 66 years earlier, there was another hurricane also called Helene. Exact same category 4 strength, hit almost exactly the same places. People, what are the odds of that happening? Two hurricanes, both named Helene, both category 4 strength, affecting almost exactly the same places, hitting on exactly the same day, just 66 years apart. You don't think that somebody or something is trying to control the weather? And you see the patterns that those hurricanes are making on the weather map? That one from 1958, that one from 2024. Look at that. They're exactly the same, and they're making the same sign. The sign of the number 6. The OK sign, 666. The sign 6, 66 years apart, 666. Does everybody understand what's going on here? And see the picture that those hurricanes made? This one from 1958, colorized for today. This one from 2024. What is that? It looks like a skull. It looks like a demonic death skull.
That's right.
People, don't tell me we're not living in the last days. And don't tell me, Christians, that we don't need to be for freedom more than ever before. Because there's a battle going on right now. And not just for this country, but for the entire world. And everything is getting ready for the Antichrist. And the judgment is coming during the Great Tribulation. And don't tell me God's judgment isn't already being poured out on this country. And why? Because God gave us all kinds of freedom, and right now, we're throwing it away. The second thing we need to do in order to live like free men, we need to understand what's happening in America to take that freedom away. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to live like free men. We not only need to understand the freedom America was founded on, we not only need to understand what's happening in America to take that freedom away, but third, we need to stand up and fight for that freedom. If we are going to live as free men, we can't just know something. We've got to do something. We've got to get up off our blessed assurance and fight for that freedom and protect it and defend it. We're living in a time right now in America with the severe hyper-feminization of men. The man's average testosterone level in America during World War II was 2,000. By 1980, it was down to 1,000. Do you know what it is all the way down to today? Between 25 and 100. So for crying out loud, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, act like a man.
Amen.
Grow up, man up, put on your big boy and your big girl pants, get some gravel in your gut and some spit in your eye, and stand up and fight for the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. Christians, you're going to do that, you better hurry. Because the left is trying 100 ways from Sunday to take that freedom away. And once we lose it, we will never get it back. The left is taking freedom away today by spreading ignorance. 82% of colleges in America today do not require students to have one single class in American history in order to graduate. Not one class. 70% of colleges in America today, you can major in history. You can be a history major. You can get a history degree without taking one single class in U.S. history. God help us, people. Here's some typical ignorant Kamala Harris supporters.
What's more dangerous, straight white conservative men or axe murderers?
A straight white conservative man.
Why is he more dangerous?
Because they're capable of doing anything. They're crazy.
What makes them crazy?
They're white.
You don't think that's racist at all?
No.
If you were to vote for anybody in 2024, who is it going to be?
Kamala Harris.
Why is that?
Because I like having rights.
Having rights?
I'm gay, and I enjoy being able to marry who I want, be open about that at work. I'm also a woman. I take birth control. I like being able to do that.
My question is, why does a lesbian need to take birth control? And when Donald Trump was president from 2016 to 2020, what did he ever do to take any rights away from that woman? Ignorance. Thomas Jefferson said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever." Our founding fathers knew America would never survive without Christianity. People, we're not going to survive what's happening to us now. Millions and millions of illegals purposely brought into this country. Millions and millions of people who have no intention whatsoever of ever assimilating. Over 600,000 convicted violent criminals released into our country to prey on the American people. That's the greatest act of treason in the history of America. And it's not only going to destroy this country, it's going to destroy all of Western civilization. This is end of civilization stuff, folks. But you say one thing about it, now you're just a white supremacist. No kind of country can survive this kind of stupidity. According to Reuters, one out of three women in America say the number one issue in this election, the number one issue, it isn't the border, it's not inflation, it's not the economy, it's not crime. The number one issue for them. One out of three women in America, so morally bankrupt, the only issue they care about is being able to sacrifice the Moloch and murder their unborn babies. Only issue that matters. America already has the most radical abortion policy of any nation on earth, and it's not even close. Killing babies up to the very nanosecond that they're born, and now even after they're born. People, that's infanticide. My God, we don't even do that to dogs and cats. See the teacher? Very confused.
So the kids are going to call me either Mr. or Mrs. Jamie. It depends on what I want, but I, as a non-binary being, I don't know what to pick. I feel like Mrs. would be easier for the kids, but Mr. makes me feel better. But I also kind of want to try mix, but I don't know if the kids can do that. I don't. And then what do they do when they ask me if I'm a boy or a girl? I'm not.
She teaches 5-year-olds. Let me ask you something. Do you want that guy or that girl or whatever that is, even a million miles close to your kids or your grandkids? And if the answer is no, you've got to do something about it. You've got to stand up and fight against. You've got to stand up and fight for your freedom. You've got to get off the fence, because if you sit on the fence too long, you get splinters in your butt. Stand up and fight, because this is a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual battle. And I don't know about you. I am sick and tired of our kids getting attacked. So stand up, Christians, stand up here at Fox River. You've got to stand up, because we've got more than enough Christians here for all the spiritual authority that we need. Here we go. Devil, in the name of Jesus, get your dirty, filthy, stinking, demonic hands off of our children. In the name of Jesus, get your dirty, filthy, stinking, demonic hands off of our children so they can be free and not bound. In the name of Jesus, we've got to fight.
Amen.
And thank God for the Christians who are doing that in America. Last October the 1st, Cabarrus County Grade School, outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, little 8-year-old Emily Matthews went to the girls' bathroom. And all of a sudden, a boy walked in, said that he was a girl, and asked if he could watch her pee. So Emily Matthews went to the principal's office. The principal told her, because of the definition of Title IX, there wasn't anything they could do about it. If he says he's a girl, he's a girl. So last October the 10th, Emily Matthews came to a school board meeting with her father, Brandon Matthews. This is what they said.
Every single one of you is cowards. My daughter, right here, sweetheart, tell these people, do you want a little boy to watch you pee?
No.
No. Why?
Because it's inappropriate.
It's inappropriate. My 8-year-old daughter knows it's inappropriate, and yet y'all sit there silent. I tell you what, I want to prove that you're all hypocrites. Because each of you ladies, I want you to invite your husbands. Let's go to the bathroom. I want them to watch me watch you use the bathroom. And let's see if they get mad. Let's prove to the public the hypocrites that sit on this board. If a little boy follows my daughter in that bathroom and touches her, you will have a new rather of dangers. Now stand up and do something. You're so scared of losing federal funding, it's ridiculous.
Thank you.
Amen. Touche. That's called standing up and fighting for freedom. Last Saturday, October the 19th, childless cat lady Taylor Swift was the one doing one of her Eras Tour concerts at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Florida. But all of a sudden, the plane flew over the stadium with a banner attached to the tail so Taylor Swift can see it and see what it says. Trump 2024, ready for it, cat lady, MAGA. Touche! Stand up and fight! And when you do, you have no idea, no idea what can happen. Last Saturday, October the 19th, about 2,500 people showed up at a Kamala Harris rally at the University of Wisconsin at La Crosse. And two of those people were two students there, Grant Beth and Luke Pulaski, both born-again Christians. So when Kamala Harris was bloviating about abortion and a woman's right to choose, they started screaming out, Jesus is Lord and Christ is King. And they were only about 20 yards away from her. So when she turned and looked at them, Luke Pulaski pulled up a crucifix and started pointing at it and again said, Jesus is Lord. And Kamala just gave him this evil smirk. And then here's what Jezebel said in response.
Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally.
She said, you're at the wrong rally. And people, I can't think of a more appropriate thing to say at a Kamala Harris rally, because Kamala Harris kicked Jesus out of that rally too. And she could have just ignored what that guy said, but she didn't. And why? Because Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. She said, Jesus is Lord. People, that's Christianity. And she rejected it and kicked it out. And if she did that to Christians as the Vice President of the United States, what would she do to Christians as the President of the United States? And all Kamala's followers cheering what she said, the whole Democrat Party is fighting a war against Christianity. There wasn't any room for Jesus at Kamala's rally because there isn't any room for Jesus in Kamala's party or in Kamala's America either. That's the spirit of Antichrist, people. But yeah, go ahead. All you never Trumper Christians, go ahead and vote for Kamala Harris, because that's what Jesus would do, right? And folks, I cannot think of any better example that shows how these two different administrations would run this country. J.D. Vance got saved back in 2019. Here's what J.D. Vance did when somebody yelled, Jesus is Lord, Christ is King, at one of his rallies just this past Monday night.
Anti-Christian rhetoric and anti-Christian approach to public policy. Jesus is King, and I don't think that we've seen...
See the difference? You say, well, Kevin, what about Donald Trump, though? You heard Donald Trump speak lately?
Yeah.
Because something happened to Donald Trump July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania. There he is on that stage, down on his knees, shot in the head, blood running down his face. And he realized he was still alive and realized that God had spared his life and that Jesus was with him. And Donald Trump prayed. And that's what gave him the strength to stand up and shake his fist and tell the crowd, fight, fight, fight. This is what Donald Trump said about it. My faith took on brand new meaning and power on July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania, when I was knocked to the ground by what seemed like a supernatural hand. And I know God spared my life to help me make America great again. Here's what Donald Trump said about it at the Republican National Convention just 5 days later.
I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yeah.
Thank you. But I'm not. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God. The last few days, many people say it was a providential moment. Probably was.
No wonder the left hates him so much. Here's what Donald Trump said to a group of Christian national religious broadcasters. Here's what he said he would do if he was elected. He'd promote school vouchers for Christian schools. He will protect church buildings and church property and their tax-exempt status with the IRS. He'll defend Christian values and Christian free speech issues and the freedom of assembly against any potential bureaucrat lockdowns. I could go on and on. And let me ask you, have you ever heard Kamala Harris say one single thing about protecting the rights and freedoms of Christians in this country? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And remember all those fans of Kamala Harris cheering at her rally when she kicked Jesus out of that rally? Well, here's what Trump supporters do at a Trump rally.
Our Father, which art in heaven, come on everybody, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
The leftists mock Jesus Christ. MAGA says the Lord's Prayer because they know this country is one nation under God. So Jesus wasn't at the wrong rally. Kamala Harris and the leftists are in the wrong country. And people, what in the world does this tell us? It's a slam dunk. It is a no-brainer. Kamala Harris trashed Jesus Christ. What else do you need to know? So listen to me. If you really are a servant of God, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. If you really are a Christian, if you really have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, living by His Word and trying to walk with Him every single day, there is no way on God's green earth that you can vote for Kamala Harris for president. No way. If you really are a Christian, how can you vote for that? She slammed the God that this nation was founded on. She trashed Jesus Christ, who is the God that you love and serve, the Savior, the only Savior that you have for your ever-loving soul. So I'll say it again, so everybody hates me for sure. If you really are a Christian, if you really are a born-again Christian, and you're really following Jesus Christ, there is no way on God's green earth that you can vote for Kamala Harris for president. And I know somebody's saying this. You say, Kevin, you shouldn't deal with politics in the church. For the love of God, for the 10 billionth time, it's not about politics. It's about Jesus Christ. Because no other presidential candidate in the history of this country did what Kamala Harris did in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's not about politics, it's about Jesus. It's not about Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, it's about Jesus Christ. It's not about right versus left. It's not Republican versus Democrat. The biggest issue in this entire election is Jesus Christ. It's God versus the devil. It's good versus evil. It's Jesus Christ versus Antichrist. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Heavenly Father and all the holy angels. Choose this day whom you will serve. That is the biggest issue in this campaign, in this election. And the choice couldn't be more clear. And who exposed all this? How did this all get started? Those two Christian college students in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And you talk about guts. Those guys went into the belly of the beast knowing that they were going to be attacked. And they sucked it up and bit the bullet and did it anyway. For God and for country and for freedom. This is what Grant Beth said. We are in the midst of a spiritual warfare this election cycle. So let's not forget what we are taught to do as Christians and stand up for the Lord and fight the battle. And you know what, folks? If those two Christian guys could stand up, we can stand up. And why? Because of Jesus. Kamala Harris said, you're in the wrong rally. Honey, Jesus is everywhere. And that's why November the 5th, no matter what happens on November the 5th, we're going to win because Jesus is going to win because everybody, and I mean everybody, is eventually going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because when it's all over with and it's all said and done and the world has come to an end and the sky rolls back like a scroll and everybody who has ever lived or died is standing before the throne of God, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everybody who is somebody and everybody else who is nobody is going to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and bow the knee. Amen. Now, some people will bow the knee because they want to. Other people will bow the knee because they have to and because they're forced to. And if Kamala Harris didn't get her head or mind right, when she stands before the throne on Judgment Day, surrounded by all the saints in glory, Jesus is going to point to Kamala Harris and say, you're at the wrong rally, and have her escorted out too. Stand up for Jesus Christ. Stand for Him now. so you can bow to him then. Amen. Folks, I got to tell you this morning, I am tired. I am so tired. And I know you are too. Watching our country going to hell in a handbasket. Seeing all the absolute evil and insanity going on around us every single day in these last days. 9 days away from an election that I believe with all of my heart is going to decide our republic. Scared to death that they're going to cheat again and steal another election away from Donald Trump. I'm tired. I have prayed so hard for this country. I have prayed so hard for people. And I know you have too. We are tired. America divided like never before. Our hearts are broken over seeing what's happened to the land of the free and the home of the brave. We're tired. And you know what? I've come to the point today. I just want Jesus. I just want Jesus Christ. Because push comes to shove, I know He is the only hope that we have. He's the only hope that we have for peace. He's the only hope that we have for reconciliation. He's the only hope that we have for joy. I just want Jesus Christ. I just want to take this election. I want to take this messed up country. I want to take Donald Trump. I want to take all the leftists who don't get it. I want to take all the enemies who absolutely hate us and want us to take us out. I want to take everything and just speak the name of Jesus over it. Because in the name of Jesus, there is power and there is peace and there is joy and there is reconciliation. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Lord, we leave this church today. We just do that. We speak the name of Jesus, Lord, over this entire country, this upcoming election, the division that's in our nation, Lord, the lack of peace that's in our own minds and spirits about everything that's going on. We speak the name of Jesus and His healing and His hope and His peace and His joy and His power. Just pray for somebody here today, Lord, that doesn't know You as their Savior. They don't know what that's all about. They'd come forward today and just pray that prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart and absolutely change them. That's the most important thing we have to do here today. Lord, we would just leave now and You just give us that absolute peace that You've got this and total control. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.